Welcome to another episode of the Reboot Chronicles, a no-holds-barred forum with global leaders, authors, entrepreneurs, and CEOs about how organizations stay focused on growth and innovation in unprecedented times. I'm your host, Dean DeBias, coming to you live from Reviv's North American headquarters in Chicago, and we would like to thank you for joining us from around the globe today. We all know someone affected by cancer. I do, and have lost family and friends to it. Globally, there are over 10 million cancer deaths a year, 600,000 in the U.S. alone. Our guest today on the Reboot Chronicles co-founded a precision oncology company to bring those numbers down across all stages, from screening to find cancer and monitoring for reoccurrences in early stages, all the way through to helping doctors select treatments for patients with more advanced stages. Emirelli Talaziz is the co-CEO of Guardant Health, a $500 million company that went public in 2018 and has been on a mission to help conquer cancer through blood tests, data analytics, and AI that empower patients, providers, biopharmas, and even employers. Emirelli, good to see you.
Thanks, Dean. Good to see you too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I got a little choked up on the intro there. Cancer is a very, I know a lot of listeners too, it's something no one wants to talk about. And we've been wanting to have you on the show for a while because you guys have done so much since you started in 2012. And so I'm never sure where to start with a topic like this. I was almost tearing up there on the intro, apologize. But you know, how are you guys changing the game of cancer? What's bring us up to date?
Yeah, sure. So this disease is something that touches many of us. You know, probably if you haven't touched by directly through a family member, we know some good close friends who have been dealing with this disease. You know, I personally has been affected by it, you know, in terms of family members and lost friends. And that's the mission that I had with my co-founders when we started Guardant Health. We wanted to see if we can offer more time to cancer patients, times with quality of life. Wow. We are doing simple blood tests in general, a blood test that can detect cancers at early stage, can look at early sign of relapse in cancer survivors, again, with a simple blood test, so you can be ahead of this disease in terms of what you can do next to fight it for longer. And finally, we have also a blood test for treatment management in advanced cancer patients. Like we are with a simple blood test, we are telling the genomic property of that tumor tissue. And these days, there are very good targeted therapies, immunotherapies, that as long as the patient has some specific signatures, biomarkers in their tumor, those treatments are indicated. So in fact, our flagship product, Guardant 360, is that blood test for treatment management of advanced cancer patients.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a 12-year-old kind of story, the company, and I'm very happy with the progress we made. When you look at right now, about 20% of all advanced cancer patients in the United States are getting tested with our blood test, and that's growing from there and for other blood tests.
So let's start with that, because everybody's probably thinking, oh, geez, I mean, I am right now. Should I get tested? Since you know, you guys invented a simple blood test, so it's not as invasive, it's not as disturbing, which sometimes it can be. Is there a risk? Well, let's answer the first question first. Should I go have my doctor, you know, pull that test? Number one. Number two, is there a risk benefit analysis of over testing? I've heard that, and I don't understand it, especially if it's a blood test. Now it seems like there shouldn't be.
Yeah, great question. So maybe let's look at what guideline recommendations are, right? Yeah. So there are for few cancer type that based on guidelines, cancer screening is recommended. For instance, for heavy smokers or like the people who were previously smokers, you know, based on guidelines, they should do annual checkup for lung cancer. For all average risk people, as long as they are 45 year or older, based on guidelines, they have to do colorectal cancer screening. And in fact, maybe that's a cancer type that we can go over more details.
And that's the number. That's the number two killer, right? Behind lung. You just named the number one and number two, lung and colorectal. Yeah.
Exactly. Like there are 150,000 new colorectal cancer cases which are getting diagnosed in the US, and about 50,000 people die every year with that. And it's really a preventable cancer as long as people do their colon cancer screening. 76% of the people who die with colon cancer, they haven't done the screening or they are not up to date with their screening program. And when you look at methodologies for colon cancer, it's like colonoscopy or some stool-based test for colorectal cancer that all in all make like tens of millions of people in the United States continue to be unscreened. And the beauty is now in near future, you can have a blood test with the indication of colon cancer screening. Still, the gold standard is going to be colonoscopy. That's the best way of screening for colon cancer. But for the people who don't have access or for whatever reason, they don't want to go through that procedure, hopefully that blood test would be a new option for people to consider to get their colon cancer screening done.
Now you guys call it highly sensitive blood screening. What does that mean? Sounds logical to me, but I'm not an expert.
Yes. So for cancer screening, it's important to detect cancers at early stage, right? So you need to have enough sensitivity to be relevant because we don't want to generate the false hope that the patient has cancer, but then a blood test shows you that you cannot detect the cancer. So it's very important to detect cancers with this new modality, especially at early stage. And for our test, it's called Shield. It's in market, as a lab-developed test. But, we are going through FDA approval and review process. And we are hopeful to get that FDA approval in 2024. And that would be the first FDA-approved Medicare-reimbursed accessible blood test for colon cancer screening. We did a 20,000-patient screening study just to see what's the performance of that blood test relative to other modalities. And what we found was the percentage of colon cancers that we can detect are in range with other guideline recommended modalities. So that's why we are very excited about the potential with that test.
Wow, that's impactful. I'm confused by the data. So some of the data says that the amount of cancer deaths in the United States has been decreasing since 1990. And then you've been talking about, well, actually, we're anticipating an increase. And I know there's all different types of cancer. It's about the extent of my knowledge, folks. So what's going on in the, let's just start with the U.S. Try to keep this under wraps here. It's a little hard to talk about the whole world at this point.
Actually, we are getting to an unfortunate milestone in the United States based on assessment. Probably 2 million people this year are going to get diagnosed with cancer in the United States. And still the leading cause of mortality by cancer is going to be the same cancer types like lung, colon cancer, and for men and female, the breast and prostate cancer would also come to the play. But this is really an unfortunate milestone. And when we look at what's happening, yes, for some cancer types, the trends are positive. The number of cancer diagnoses are going down. But when you look at, for instance, colon cancer in younger patient population, in fact, we are finding and we are diagnosing more younger people with advanced colon cancer right now. And that's a public health, actually, unmet need that we have, that we need to find some solutions for it in the near future.
That's troubling. Do you think it's maybe out of your wheelhouse a little bit, but do I always have to ask the questions why? Do you think it's diet, environment? What is going on?
The quick answer is we don't know. There are a bunch of hypotheses, and definitely it looks like it's multifactorial, like environmental exposure, which nutrition could be part of it, is making some even changes in GI system, in the gastrointestinal system of younger people in terms of some modifications in their genome. And it's an area of active research. We are finding higher rate of adenomas or polyps in younger patients than what it used to be. But we don't know exactly, at least to my best knowledge, like with 100% certainty, what's the cause of this increased rate of cancer in younger adults?
So when you look at personalization of food, medicine, oh gosh, even cosmetics for heck's sake, we've had the CEOs of Viomon, we've had the CEOs of Thorne Health. So it's like, mostly bodily samples to customize your supplements and other things. Do you think that's a good thing? Is that helping? Is it supplements is always a dicey area, I know, but what are your thoughts on the personalization to mitigate these risks?
The areas that are scientifically proven is definitely having a healthier lifestyle is really a good way of reducing the chance of getting cancer. In terms of nutrition, in terms of physical activity, in terms of less exposure to cancer-related toxins, environmental factors, we know that. Sticking to the guideline-recommended screening is another way to really prevent cancer or diagnose cancer at very early stage so you can get ahead of the game in treating and fighting that disease. In fact, maybe this statistic would be interesting for the audience. When you look at 27 major cancer types in the U.S., if you can detect those cancers in early stage when they are localized, the long-term survival of the patients would be more than 90%. The chance of survival would be that high. If the same cancers are diagnosed at advanced stage, metastatic to the other organs, the five-year survival, long-term survival drops to just 14%.
Whoa.
That's a big difference.
That's huge.
That's scientifically we know.
So that makes sense, but there's 27 different types. So you don't have one blood test that checks all of those. And most people, they don't know how to get detection and screening and all of that. So what do you recommend?
Yes. So when you think about in future what we are going to have, we are going to have blood tests that with one simple blood test, you can detect a panel of cancers at early stage.
And what? Where is that now in your journey? How broad is it now in terms of what's getting approved by the FDA?
So Guardant actually kind of, what Guardant is pioneering is a blood test with first indication of colon cancer screening. So we can get FDA approval for it. We can make sure people get access to it because there are regulatory and reimbursement pathway for colon cancer screening. And then adding other indications of cancer types that early detection would have outcome benefit for the people. Because there are maybe some cancer types that even if you detect them early, you cannot do much. So you're just generating anxiety and financial toxicity for the patients by detecting those cancers. But there are many cancers, as long as you can detect them early, you can offer outcome. And we are going to add those indications systematically to our blood test in phases. I can tell you we are running a screening study in the field of lung cancer. We are in the third year. It's another 10,000 patient study that we are doing with the same blood test to show the performance of our blood test in detecting early stage lung cancer.
You guys have been doing data analytics, AI for 12 years now, probably even before you started the company. How big is AI going to transform or accelerate maybe what we're talking about here?
I can tell you based on insight that we have, it is big. We started using learning solution, machine learning solution, and over time it got evolved into AI solution. The belief in the value of data and data analytics is so high for us that in fact the tagline of Guardant Health from the beginning has been conquer cancer with data. I can give you maybe a couple of examples of how we are using it. So we are looking at the genomic properties in blood cells and materials in blood very comprehensively. We are generating vast amounts of data. And then we are using actually AI solution to really get some biological insight of what are we seeing and what are we learning about about the biology of cancer. And that insight in biology is paving a path for us and shedding lights into what we have to do to improve the technologies that we have to really be able to detect earlier stage cancers at the earlier moment of cancer development. It has been revolutionary for us. There are some other use cases we have in our company that when you look at clinical companies like us, there is vast amount of documentation that we need to do for different purposes, regulatory purposes, reimbursement purposes, publication generation purposes. Right. We have now tens of thousands of documents, and what we are building now looks very simple but highly effective in terms of improving productivity at the company and for our scientists, that, you know, AI-based solution that can draft some of these basic documents that our scientists do not need to spend hours and hours and hours to write them versus just editing some AI-generated drafts to make it accurate and ready for deployment.
Yeah, and that's good on the presentation level. On the analysis side, it is that you could find things and connected tissue, to use a pun intended, I guess, things that we as scientists might miss, we as a society of scientists. Whereas, and that speed is so important because you're trying to solve. And just to be clear, you guys are more on the diagnostic side than treatment, just so people don't get the wrong idea. But it's always been the least focused thing. Most people are trying to cure, come up with cures, and you're saying, well, the proper diagnosis is probably as important as well as the timing. What
exactly?
Right. I get your business model. I'm probably not going to go into that. You know, providers and, you know, pharma's probably paying you, of course. But how do you help pharma with your data? I definitely see it, but I just want to make sure I got it right.
Yeah. So we have worked with over 160 biotech and pharmaceutical companies.
Well, that's about most of them.
Almost many people in the field of oncology we touched, and it across actually different phases of drug development. You know, a lot of earlier activities was around translational research, biomarker discovery, or effectively research on the biopharma side. And over time, it got expanded to drug development. Now, for several actually oncology drugs, the patients have been identified by our blood test. And based on that data, the patient got enrolled in the clinical trial. So in fact, for several treatments, the treatment got approved in combination or in companion with our blood test to find those patients. And it ranges also even on the commercial side. You know, there are a lot of activities that we do with some pharma companies to really have to make sure these blood tests become accessible for patients. And when we are finding relevant biomarkers, the patient get access to the right treatment at the end.
And what about doctors? How are you helping them?
Yeah, so right now, majority of
And do they want help all the time?
That's a very good question. So, in fact, when you look at this field like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, the standard of care in the field of oncology was tissue testing, looking at some of these genomic markers that I talked earlier, just in a piece of tissue. Like imagine a patient with lung cancer. The way to get that tissue is like a biopsy, to go through the chest wall, go through the rib bone, hit that cancer. Sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. 19% of the patients have adverse events when they go through that procedure. And now fast forward, our blood test is part of standard of care. That biopsy, unnecessary biopsy for genomic profiling, is not getting used a lot, and that has been replaced with a simple blood test to get the same information with high accuracy.
Got it.
So typically, we are helping oncologists to really manage the patient in terms of treatment selection. What treatment is going to work better? What treatment is not going to work anymore? Or even for clinical trial, what trial has a higher chance of success for this patient versus what trial is this patient is not going to be eligible for.
pretty impactful. You know, when you step back, look at the industry as well as your company, but what innovations are you most excited about right now? I mean, they may still be in the lab and cooking, but yeah, give us some hope here.
I think, Dean, really I'm excited about the future. I think future of cancer care would be much better than what we are facing today. And I expect I would have less story of families who've been touched with this, friends that I lost to this disease. Same for all of us. The innovations are around the whole care for the patient. The cancers could get detected at earlier stage. I'm also inspired by the innovations that are happening at the surgical resection, some interventions to really treat those cancers, you know, with surgical or other kind of intervention at early stage. And on the therapeutics, like the new classes of therapeutics, target therapies, immunotherapies, gene editing, but some potential by cancer vaccination, I think could be amazing of the possibilities of where this field could be 20 to 30 years from today.
Cancer vaccination. First time I've heard that one. That's, and what, you know, when you look out 5 years from now, pick your year, 4 to 7 years, where do you see the company? I know you're public, but what's your vision and hope?
I think we are going to see a transformation of cancer management powered by our blood tests. We are going to have accessible blood tests for cancer screening. Millions of people would hopefully get access to this test and benefit from these tests of detecting cancer at early stage. And we are going to actually continue to grow in managing the patients who are cancer survivors, give them the peace of mind that they are still cancer-free. And even for people who go to advanced cancer stage, they can get more suitable treatment over time. I can also tell you maybe 5 years is short, but
it is. In your industry, it's very short, I know. I know.
Exactly. Cycle of innovation and accessibility takes long sometimes. But based on the insight that we are learning about cancer, like I give you a quick example, not only we are looking at the genomic properties with a simple blood test, we are looking at epigenomic properties. And that's some kind of structural changes, chemical changes in the genome, which could be as relevant to the genomic abnormalities. That's the software layer of the genome instead of the hardware layer of genetics. Right. And those insights really has the potential to open up new venues to invent new classes of drugs that can target those epigenomic modifications to really, you know, treat those cancers with higher precision and effectiveness.
Yeah.
I'm very
and
excited.
And I see you as a good partner for that, helping the pharmas, quite frankly. I mean, maybe some of them think they compete with you, but you know, when I, as a capitalist, I look at scaling companies, this is my, it's all I think about, but it's, so apologies for this question, but it's like at your core, you're really good at detection and blood, and you could be in other things besides cancer. What's the product roadmap flexibility look like? And okay, let's go 10 years out if that makes you feel better.
Yeah. So, you know, cancer unmet need is so big that we are trying to focus on it. But the promise of this blood testing is very broad. Like, not only we can detect biomarkers coming from tumor, we can, through the same kind of test technologies, we can find biomarkers which are associated with neurological diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's,
exactly,
cardiovascular diseases, like early insight of some kind of muscular dysfunction, or inflammatory diseases, again, with the same blood test. So not only this blood test can help with management of cancer, you could imagine this blood test over time can become a multi-disease assessment in terms of early detection, treatment management. And that's the promise of really this blood test to guard wellness at population level.
Yeah, precisely. And, you know, most of the business audience here is, you know, always thinking about business, but now you've got them thinking about themselves. So the next time they're at their doctor, what do they ask for? How do they get one of these panels?
Panels of tests?
What do they say? What am I supposed to tell my doctor? It's like, you know.
Yes. So if a patient is advanced cancer patient, like, you know.
No, just a screening, just random. Just somebody says, hey, I want to know. I want the garden test. Can they tell the doctor that? And whether or not it's covered, I'm not going into that.
Yeah. So our test, the Shield test, is launched in market, but in a limited setting because we are waiting for FDA approval. So there are like about 1,000 clinics, 1,000 hospitals that have access to our test right now. Yep. So it's a small fraction of the market. But we are planning to scale this test right after FDA approval, which we are hoping to get that in 2024. So maybe keep that question till the checkup of 2024.
People will be listening to this through 26. We have a long tail. That's great. It's it's some very encouraging stuff here. Aureli, if you look at, first of all, thanks for being on. It was very, very insightful. And if you kind of look at your life, you've been through a lot of reboots yourself. I see how you're rebooting this category. It's, you know, I'm sure you've got competition out there, but you guys are clearly leading the way from everything I read about you guys. What about yourself? What have you been through that you might want to share with us?
Yeah, sure. Like, I can maybe share the background and some of the lessons learned. So, in fact, you know, my background in education was electrical engineering. Like, my PhD, in fact, is in electrical engineering. But I was fortunate enough that my PhD advisor was from Department of Genetics at Stanford University. And I got trained at the interface of genetics and engineering. And I think that was a reboot for my contribution to the field of how to bring some of the engineering concept into biological science,
right,
so we can understand biology better.
I like it.
And frankly, that's one of the core technologies that we have at Guardant, is bringing some of the telecommunication core concept into genetic analysis in these blood tests that we talked about earlier. That needs grit. That needs a lot of hard work and persuasion of the opportunity with a lot of barriers that you're going to face, you know, that needs dealing with a lot of naysayers that you're going to deal with throughout your career, because that's the life of innovators and disruptors and anybody who wants to do something new. There are many people who would say this is mission impossible.
That's a good point. Most people haven't had a Stanford advisor like you did. I hope you send them a gift every year. So what do you tell folks that, you know, probably should be making the leap into this, that they're kind of just playing it safe, working for Google and other things and tech jobs? This is hard stuff you're working on.
Yeah, definitely. Like, be in the right ecosystem. Like, I think we are very fortunate in Bay Area, Silicon Valley. Like, the ecosystem is ripe.
Yes.
Like Stanford. Like, if you don't think about entrepreneurship and you're a grad student at Stanford, probably something is wrong with you. Like, at least, you know, that comes to mind, you know, in many, many occasions.
Right.
But what I learned is the value of building network and right ecosystem around yourself. Like, having good mentors, you know, always throughout my career, I try to have good mentors around me. Just the caliber of the mentors and their specialty has changed, but I always had mentors. Spending time on networking and building strong network of peers that you can exchange ideas, you can learn from them, you can actually sometimes even vent to them, right? So it's very powerful that I think sometimes innovators are missing. They're just heads down on innovation, or they're just heads down on kind of marketing and business plan development, and they don't spend enough time on building their network.
I love that. Yeah, especially in the world that we've been in the roaring 20s, it's like people are trying to move things so fast, you know, sometimes kind of back up. And it's just learning from other people and learning from mistakes, whether it's a mentor or a coach or, you know, even a competitor at a conference you can learn something from.
Absolutely.
I always tend to tell them, hey, you know, you need to meet people outside of your circle, outside of your influence, but mostly outside of your industry, which really seemed to be a pivotal point for you that
I agree.
And none of this would have happened.
I would have developed some cool apps
that I probably have on my phone right now, but you wouldn't be curing cancer.
Yeah, nobody can do these kind of big efforts alone. Maybe some can. It's definitely not my story. I'm sure I could not have done it alone. You know, having the right team, right co-founders, strong leaders, learning how to lead through right mentorship, right experiences by others, and so forth. So I have to say I was fortunate. And I think maybe some of the fortune, frankly, is coming from the hard work that happens too. Like, you know, I believe luck is important, but you have to gain that luck through, you know, sweating, grit, and really deserving that luck.
Yeah, well said. Thanks, Amorelli. Appreciate it. You've been listening to Amorelli Telazzis. He is the co-CEO of Guardant Health. Check him out. This is Dean Tobias with the Reboot Chronicles. I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll see you all soon.